Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom with the Enlightened Network this Friday, September 30th. This is Gregory Mascari from Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here on our live call or on the replay. And Robin and I started these regular weekly calls, these 30-minute of wisdom calls, as kind of our way of paying back or really paying it forward for all the amazing people we've been blessed to meet, the wisdom we've learned, and over the years and decades, just the great opportunities that we've been given. And certainly our intention with these Friday morning 30-minute of wisdom calls is to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and enlightened beings, if you will, in the world today. And so at this time, I'd like to turn today's 30-minute of wisdom call over to my partner in life and enlightened networker, Robin Blank Mascari.
Well, thank you, Gregory, and good morning, everyone. Thanks for being with us this morning or today or whenever it is you get to listen in on our call. We're thrilled to have this growing community. It's been great. We've been just yesterday I heard from a few people that said, I'm in every week. And we have this growing community of people that are wanting to learn and grow, and it's our joy to share some great treasures with you. And today we have another one. We have a guest that will affirm, are you ready for that? Affirm that you already know how to be great. It's a simple way to remove interference and unlock your greatest potential. That's the title of his new best-selling book. And we're going to be going through a few things from that book today. This gentleman has developed a unique inside-out approach, and it's turned into the gold standard among executive coaches to improve performance. And it's designed for everybody. It's not just for high-level executives or for athletes, although that was its origin. But this best-selling author, he's truly a world-renowned coach to high-profile leaders and athletes, with starting out on the tennis circuit with some of the top-seeded players in the UK, turned into working with some of the top golfers in the world. He's the founder and president of Inside Out Development, and I just adore this man, as you're going to hear. I met him many years ago. He's actually developed this beautiful model and has been a mental performance-focused coach for many, many years. And like I said, whether it's an athlete or musician or corporate executive or parent or just someone who wants to grow, the model that he has developed works. And I love it because it's simple, it's elegant, and it's effective. So I was privileged many years ago to meet him, to work with him, to get certified in this work. And to this day, I live with several of the models that were introduced to me through him, and they work especially well when I get into overwhelm, stress, or get stuck. And I've been using this model with my team, and this is something that many of you who have teams can use it because it is so simple and elegant, and anyone can do it. Stephen Covey wrote the foreword to his book, and what I loved about what Stephen said is, you know, one of the most impactful work for Stephen and all of his study and research is when we reach a new paradigm, and then everything's different, and it can simplify our life so much. So Stephen said it's truly a landmark book on helping yourself and others on the journey to greatness. So in our complex world, it's so nice to know and a relief that we don't need to know more. So it is my joy to introduce someone who his heart, his wit, and his wisdom have been a huge contribution in my life. And I'm honored to bring to you my special friend, Alan Fine. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. I'm so glad to have you here. And shall we jump in?
Sure.
Okay, well, you know, the book is titled You Already Know How to Be Great. So how do we know that? And where did this work really come from, Alan?
Well, there's lots of evidence for me that we already know how to be great because there's things that we all of us have no things that we don't take action on. So, you know, you ask groups of people, how many of you know one thing? Know of one thing if you did more of or less of. you'd be more effective. They'll always put their hand up. And I look at, you ask parents, how many of you have said things to your kids knowing that you'll regret it in about 4 hours? You know, they'll always put their hand up. You ask golfers how much of the game is mental and how much is physical or technical, and they'll tell you it's over 80% mental, and you ask them how much they practice those mental skills, and they'll tell you zero. So there's a whole body of knowledge. There's a lot of things out there that we already know that we don't take action on. And there's lots of research out there in books like The Knowing Doing Gap and Why Smart Executives Fail. But for me, it all began when I was just looking at how to help tennis players do better. And when it dawned on me that the mental state drives everything, and I changed what I tried to do in my lessons, I saw some tremendous breakthroughs. I mean, they were eye-opening to me. And they didn't require my giving any more knowledge to the student. What I did was reduce what I call the interference, the mental clutter. And you could see 10 times improvements in the space of a minute sometimes. It was ridiculous.
After learning all that stuff, and you realize that wasn't what really made the difference. You want to share the story about the 6-year-old girl?
It's a little girl who'd had, and this was when I was just getting fascinated by this whole approach, this whole notion of drawing out of people what's inside. So this little girl, she'd had 6 lessons. She didn't look very coordinated, and her mom was giving her these lessons in the hope that we could improve her enough to get into the group lessons, because she was very shy, and we thought this would be good for her socially. And I kept the instructions very, very simple about the grip and the stance. And so all she could do in a row was 6 balls, and that's if I put the ball on a racket, basically. And then I thought, in the 7th lesson, I've got nothing to lose. Let's see what happens if we don't worry about the instructions and we just get her to quiet her mind. And so I asked her to say, bounce when the ball hit the floor, and hit when it hit her racket, just to compel her to pay attention to those events and not worry about the footwork and the grip and things like that. And in that very first volley, she hit the ball over the net back to me 53 times in a row.
Whoa!
I mean, that's kind of what was going on in my mind. Whoa. And after 15 balls, I started moving the ball around the court because, you know, we coaches can't leave anything alone. She still managed to do it 53 times in a row. It was just mind-blowing. It was actually the biggest breakthrough I'd ever seen. And it just happened almost in an instant.
So wow.
It was things like that really compelled me, I suppose, to just keep on looking for how does this work, and to develop models. And being a Welshman, they had to be very simple models because I wasn't kind of couldn't be anything else for me. To develop models that enable us to take that whole approach and do it on a systematic basis and share it with other people.
So from the way so many of us are trained, that old performance model, performance equals, and this is in your book, and for anyone that has the book, it's on page 5, performance equals capacity plus knowledge, which is really an outside-in approach that so many of us, I had a friend who said we're so busy doing, we end up with a lot of doo-doo. And this model you're talking about, this inside-out model, is a little bit different. It's performance equals what?
Capacity minus interference, minus mental interference.
The mental interference. And, you know, you can watch it happen. And your story is great. So the first chapter is called A Blinding Glimpse of the Obvious. And it's like, oh, it doesn't have to be so hard. So if you could share a little bit about how this coaching model developed and go through the different stages of it, because it's really truly designed to decrease interference, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's actually, yes, it is a coaching model. It's actually a map of how people make decisions. It's a way of modeling how people make decisions. and why that should show up as a coaching model, because it will also show up as a consulting model or a parenting model or a therapeutic model. And so, and it has so many applications, because in my mind, if you want to change performance or results in anything, you've got to change the actions that people take, because results come from actions. And if you want to change their actions, then you really got to get at their decision making, both their conscious and their unconscious decisions, because that's what we take action on, is our decisions. So the concept I like to use is decision velocity, which borrows from physics, where velocity is speed in a direction. So what we're targeting is the speed and direction, or the speed and accuracy of decision making, because everything else comes from that. So this GROW model is a model of decision making, and it stands for goals, reality, options, and way forward. And it models what I would call the critical variables. So in order to get a decision made, you have to have clarity about each of those stages. And what's variable is the content of each of those stages, because it depends what you're thinking about. And part of the value of it for me is it's a model of what we already do. This isn't something like we don't have to pull down a theoretical model and fit everything into it. This maps what we've done all our lives. So if you think about buying a house, all of us went through the GROW model to do that. Our reality, if I make up an example, let's say our reality is we have a growing family and the house is too small, so the goal becomes to get a bigger house. And then we go and research options to see what's available, and we prioritize that, and we choose our favorite, make an offer on it, and if it's accepted, we go to the way forward and we raise the finance and get the movers in. So it's modeling something that we already do. It's just making it very conscious and explicit. Doctors use it with us all the time, because when we go to a doctor, our goal, we have a reality which is, I don't feel well, and the goal is to feel better. And so the doctor helps us explore the reality more thoroughly. And from that, we'll brainstorm options, recommendations with us, and then we'll choose whatever the appropriate ones together, and we go away with our prescription or our lifestyle change. So part of the value of GROW is that it isn't really anything new we have to learn. It's just coming to understand better, to have a model to navigate through something that we already do. And on a typical day, we human beings have a tendency to go through GROW in a very random way, to go all over the place. The value of having it conscious and explicit is we become systematic in going direct. So think of baseball. If we ran all over the field between stepping on the bases, it would be much harder to score a run. If we run all over the place in trying to go through GROW, then it becomes much harder to have decision velocity. But if we're systematic in how we go through each of the stages, if we target them very consciously and explicitly, we can accelerate the decision velocity quite dramatically sometimes. So the end result of it can be, say, with a parent, they end up having a constructive dialogue with their teenager, where the teenager finally gets enrolled in raising their grades, and the knock-on effect of that is huge in their lives. Or it's the cable TV company that their repeat call-out rate to their customers is costing them $150,000 a month. And by getting their people to use this model to create focus, basically, to quiet their minds, in 3 months, they reduced that by $25,000. $25,000 a month.
Whoa. Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember so vividly when you were talking about decision velocity being one of the cornerstones to people being effective in life. You know, you said the speed and direction of the decisions. And it's true in sport also. It's not about how great your swing is. It's what angle and what speed you're hitting the ball. And I watch, you know, now that I have that paradigm, and it happens all the time. So there's some other models, and I think that piece about decision velocity is made a huge impact on my life and can on other people's so simply. And there's some other models that you talk about that I think have been so impactful, and I love that you like to create things simple because that really works for me and I think so many of us. There's a great Russian researcher, and that model lives in my head. Can you talk about the flow model from Csikszentmihalyi, please?
Yeah. So I actually think he's Hungarian.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Not that makes any difference because I don't speak either, but he does this research into what he calls the psychology of optimal experience. It's the kind of thing we describe in Wales as what's going on in people when they do stuff. And what he does is he puts pages on people from all walks of life, and he pages them roughly five times a day, and they write down what they're experiencing and what they're doing at that time. And so one of his earliest models as a result of that research was to show that when we human beings perceive the challenge in front of us as being greater than our perception of our skill, then the first thing we do is get worried. And then if it gets bad enough, that worry will turn into anxiety. And one of the most classic ways that you'll see that illustrated is if you go to a golf lesson where the golfer is given, say, 15 instructions on how to hit a golf ball, and you can see them, that the 15 instructions implies that it's difficult, implies that it's a challenge that's greater than their skill, because if it's easy, they wouldn't need to hear all that information. And so they go into fight or flight mode, and their muscles tense up and their adrenaline's pumping. And when they're that tense, so they're already worried, they get very tense, they therefore can't coordinate very well, and they will miss or mishit the ball. And then their mind goes, oh, well, I was right to be worried because look at what happened, and their worry turns into anxiety. And so it becomes a kind of self-fulfilling prophecy, and organizations have exactly the same thing going on whenever change is happening. And then the other end of that scale is when we have more, when we perceive ourselves as having more skill than is necessary to meet the challenge, we tend to get bored. And actually, when people are bored for long enough, that can turn into anxiety, where they do things to sabotage what's going on just to stimulate themselves because they can't stand the boredom. When we perceive the challenge we're facing as being in balance with our perception of our skill, that's when what he calls flow state shows up. Most of us in the kind of out there in the world will call it the zone. We talk about being in the zone when we were hitting a tennis ball or playing a musical instrument. So it shows up when we think we have enough skill to meet the challenge, but only just enough. And that's actually, it didn't found this GROW model. It was research that supported it, because what the GROW model does is break down the challenge that we're facing into what you might call doable chunks. And it actually parallels Stephen Covey's work, where he talks about the circle of influence, work in your circle of influence. So GROW gives us a way to get right into that zone or into that circle of influence.
Which, as many of us who've read The Seven Habits, and if you haven't, we highly invite you to do that, because they're foundational principles that we're talking about here, that as we focus on what we have control of, that grows. And, you know, this GROW model just kind of helps, you know, when I think about it, Alan, I take a big sigh of relaxation, because it does break it down. And we're so busy trying to do too much that we seem to create more interference with all these additional things. And so these models have been so helpful to me. And the other one from Kurt Lewin, I think, goes along so beautifully with GROW and with the flow model, because it so explains how many of us live our lives. Could you talk about how that fits into the force field analysis?
Well, it's basically another way of describing this whole notion of interference.
Yes.
Because when we go to do something, there are forces driving us to do it, and there are forces driving against us, if you like. So if we were out, if we were trying to have a conversation with our teenager about their bedroom being a mess, we're motivated because we like a neat house, we think it'll be something useful for them to be organized in the future, and what's resisting us is the fact that they want to assert themselves and have the room their way. They don't just, you know, they're in that stage where they don't, whatever their parents say, they don't want to agree with it because they're trying to individuate. So you've got forces driving towards a particular goal, and you've got forces resisting against it. And I think the whole thrust of what I call the inside-out approach is that you can, here's a metaphor to think about it. If we're driving a car, most people will attempt to, when they want to raise the performance of the car, they'll step on the gas pedal in order to get more gas into the engine and the car will go faster. And I guess my hypothesis is that at the same time as stepping on the gas pedal, most people have their other foot on the brake at the same time and they don't recognize it. And that's the interference that's present for all of us. And merely by removing the interference or taking our foot off the brake, you don't have to step on the gas pedal anymore. Merely by taking our foot off the brake, you can have, no pun intended here, a breakthrough in performance. That's what happened with that little girl. I mean, that's what often happens with people who use this model. It helps us remove the resisting forces that are getting in. And most of those, by the way, are internal to us rather than external to the environment.
Right. That is such a powerful metaphor because so many people live so stressed, I'm including myself, because we're trying to do more, when if we could just take our foot off the brake and let go of some of those restraining forces, there's a grace that moves us forward with ease. And this is the breakthrough. This is where things can be a new paradigm for all of us. Because you've seen this so many different ways with like you're saying, with parenting, with golf performance, with executives. I mean, when people come across that in their everyday work world with, I think if it wasn't for people, life would be a lot easier. But these tools are so powerful.
Well, I think in there's people talk about these things in lots of different ways. If you read people like Eckhart Tolle, who's talking about the power, is it the power of now?
Mm-hmm.
When we create focus using a model like GROW, what we're doing is helping people be fully in the moment or more fully in the moment. Because when we're caught up in the interference, in this internal dialogue, it takes us away from being present. And when we're fully present is usually where we'll experience, people describe it lots of ways, peace. They call it transcendent moments where they're in the zone, they're in flow. It's when we come out of the present and are stuck in the past or in the future. And one of the most common ways we get out of the present is what I've heard called the tyranny of the shoulds, where we've got this voice in our head saying we should be doing more, I should be earning more money, I should be achieving more, I should be winning the golf tournament, my kids should be getting grades. The word should is a really big red flag about we're not really being very present.
Wow. I remember what Alan has done, for those of you that are listening, is created, you know, the sport model is more highly measured in performance than probably anything. Right, Alan?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so taking the model of sport into everyday life, and what I remember being on the tennis court with you and hearing about intention and attention. So that the GROW model, these models we're talking about, are all designed to do the same thing, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all. I mean, people confuse intention and attention. The models are designed to help us have more choices about what we pay attention to, because that drives everything else that happens for us. So if we can control what we focus on, It'll change our beliefs. It'll change our energy. It'll change how we, and I mean, the terms I, there's three F's for me. There's focus, there's faith, and there's fire. So faith is what you believe about yourself. Fire is your motivation. Focus is what you pay attention to. And those, to me, are the neglected areas when it comes to trying to change performance, because typically what we're trained to do over the years is always go to knowledge. You know, if I want to get better at something, well, then I better get more knowledge. I better get more gas in the engine, basically. And if you don't deal with those faith, fire, and focus issues, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you've got. You won't be able to get to action on it because you won't be able to control your attention, or you won't, you'll doubt yourself, or you won't be motivated. So if you think about it, if knowledge was all we needed, we'd all read the book. We'd all be world champions.
So true. I just thinking about this model, I noticed my body relaxing, and all throughout the book, there the GROW model with all these different dimensions and all the questions, so people can use this immediately and be effective. Increase the decision velocity, be more present, let go of some of those restraining forces. And I'm noticing we have just a few more minutes, and I you know, is there any other things that you want to make sure we mention this morning, Ellen, because there's so much in here, and it's so simple.
You know, maybe a way to kind of round this off is to go back to the beginning when the publisher saw the manuscript of this book, when he read through it, he came back and said, here's what the book title needs to be. You already know how to be great. And I was so skeptical about it. I mean, as a Brit, you know, you never make bold claims like that. That's to us, that's so in your face. And I wasn't very happy. And he said, well, you can choose. You can have it published or not have it published. So that was an interesting choice. But it's been interesting for me because as I've gone out and talked about it in a context of this title, I think he absolutely nailed it. I think that really is what I'm saying, is that I would never say we're not all going to win Wimbledon. We're not all going to become president. But there's greatness in all of us that we really don't tap into and can tap into it in some very simple ways, including those folks when we're at work that we scratch our heads about. Because I'll tell you, the thing that keeps me inspired about all of this is I think of kids. Kids learn half of what they learn in their lives by about 5 or 6 years old. Why is that? Because they are so open to learning. Learning's inbuilt in every one of us. And if we tap into that, even those crusty folks that we've written off, if you can get them in contact with their ability to learn instead of all those defenses they've put up, that's when magic happens.
Mm. And there is magic all throughout this work. And I just I love this work. Ellen wrote a book several years ago, but it was focused on golf. And your clients just said, please write it for the rest of us, too, because this applies for everyone, no matter who you are, what stage in life. There's a simple model that can achieve breakthrough performance, and it may just be that you're getting along better with your kids, or you're better on the tennis court, or just I'd love to be on the phone for hours with you, because that shift of getting more in the moment. And everyone can find Ellen's website at ellen-fine.com. And the book, again, is called You Already Know How to Be Great, A Simple Way to Remove Interference and Unlock Your Greatest Potential. It was written with Ellen by Rebecca Merrill, who most people don't know, actually wrote the Seven Habits book also, a foreword by Stephen Covey, a great, great book, and the model is in there, so everyone can get it and use it and experience breakthrough right away. So thank you, Ellen, for being with us. We're going to complete our recording in just a minute of our 30 Minutes of Wisdom that is up on the website if everyone goes to www.enlightenednetworking.com. And you go to the resource page, you can hear all the interviews that have happened since we began. And next week we have a very different kind of guest than we've had. Carl Anthony is a gifted musician that has a message with his music, and you're in for a treat. I just get so excited when I think about who's coming up. And the week after that, we have a woman who will be doing interactive anti-aging games that actually improve your brain through doing some interactive things online. So we've got some great things coming up and many, many more. So at this time, if you stand by for just a moment, I'm going to complete our recorded session. And thank you all for being with us, and thank you, Alan. It's a joy.
Thanks.
So as we turn the recording off, we'll open up the lines for any Q&A with Alan for a few minutes. Stand by, please.